high above. You're high above.
Hallelujah.
You're high above, Lord.
We thank you.
Give you praise. We honor you, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
We bless your name.
Jesus.
We bless your name. We bless your name. Oh, yes.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Woo. Yes, Lord.
More. More, more. More, more. And that one, too. Thank you. Well, welcome back, China team.
Wow.
Yes, God. Guess we can release the children, huh? Hello there. All right, sounds good. Thank you. Children are released to Kingdom Country. Well, the China team returned yesterday. We flew out of Beijing on July 7th, arrived on July 7th, just an hour after we flew out. It's amazing, this high-speed transportation. Wow, that makes a difference. We thought it was warm there, but obviously pretty crispy here. Well, if we could have the China team come up, we're just going to jump right into it because there's a lot to share, a lot of good stuff. Right here? Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Bring everything. So we had a team of six that left on June 19th, and we came back yesterday in the afternoon. They don't look jet-lagged at all. Because we believe the Spirit of God carried us throughout the entire trip. I think you'll hear a few things that are new, at least new to me, in missions, and been going since 1996. And there were a few things on this trip that were brand new to me. So that should be great. If we have some pictures, we started in Hong Kong, and these are so fresh, these I worked on them this morning. I'm not sure whether they're all in the right folders or not, but we'll give it a shot. Started out in Hong Kong, and we have been going in through Hong Kong for the five trips that I've been going, all the other trips we go through Hong Kong. We have some relationships in Hong Kong. They help us get into China. Hong Kong is a separate district within the country of China, turned over to China in 1997. From the British, and it's a city that's affecting the rest of China because it's so prosperous, they have to pay attention to it. It's free to speak the gospel there anywhere, pretty much, and even though it's part of China, and China is communist, Hong Kong is like a separate China, if you can think of it that way. They're under the umbrella, but they are free, much freer in what they do, and they're fighting to maintain that freedom. So in 1997, when the Chinese government of mainland China took over Hong Kong, many missionaries left, Western missionaries, thinking that China would clamp down on Hong Kong and the gospel would be prohibited from being spread, just like it is somewhat in mainland China. That'll do what? Oh my golly, that's too cool. But the opposite happened. Actually, Hong Kong ministries thrived from 1997 on, and so we're connected with Revival Chinese Ministries International. They have long names. Sounds like Frontline. So, and they help us get in. They help us make connections within China. They help us with travel arrangements and all kinds of things. So we bless them for all that they did to set up contacts and a number of things. Because when you minister in China, it's all about trust. Because we can go in and mess up everything that happens with a missionary that has set up a business, has set up to work in China legitimately. They set up like a travel bureau, and they actually help a couple people travel in China, but most of the time they're ministering as their main thrust. And so we can mess that up by coming in and saying, hey, let's just preach on the streets of China. That'll be great. And we're connected with this guy. And then they might slap us on the hands or at worst kick us out of the country, but they may really mess up the missionary entirely, kick him out for a long time, everything they've tried to build up. So when we come under most people when we go into China, we come under what they're doing, try to do it under them submissively. We're not, you know, coming in as all the others. We're coming in to come alongside and serve them. So we spent just a few days, if this, it sounded so good. Clicker, huh? Yeah, well, that was Hong Kong right there. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, what happened? Ah, so we traveled around the city a little bit. It's a huge, about 9, 10 million people, I guess. Very prosperous Asian city. And we, you know, everything is high rises. They speak Cantonese rather than Mandarin. It's separate in very many ways. Economically, it's even more prosperous than China is becoming. Much trade and commerce. And last time in 2008, our teams ministered on the streets. This time we were just kind of passing through. That's Dan conquering Hong Kong. There's his domain. This is what he was looking at. And then he allowed the rest of us to come up there. So, we moved on to taking a train. We take trains in China on purpose. They do have airplanes. But on the trains for 24 hours on sleeper trains, we get to know the people. We're right in with the people. We're literally sleeping with the people. Anyway, so this was a young man, Elvin. And what we do is we take the guitars out, we start playing, and we try to draw people in. We have bunks that we're sitting on and so on, and we tell them what the songs are about. We share Jesus with them, and people come to Christ on the train. Well, this guy couldn't wait. We were putting our bags away, and we're Americans. We had great big bags on a very small area to put the bags. We're shoving them in, and we're holding up all the Chinese from getting onto the train car that we're on because we're in the first group of buses. So we're trying to put all our bags away, and here comes up this young man, and he's just looking like, "You're here. You're finally here." And he's just engaged us as soon as we had the bags away. He said, "You looked so friendly. I just wanted to talk to you, and I'm an English major." And he just starts talking to us. And that's one of the things that I was saying that I learned, that it's a time when we're drawing people because of the light of Christ inside of us. This young man just came up out of nowhere. He could not wait for us to put the bags away, and he somehow read on us that we were friendly. Now, how can you be friendly stuffing bags on a train, feeling like everyone is being held up behind you, you're trying to hurry, you're trying to rush, and we looked friendly? There's a new day that's here, and that is that it's not all about us going out and hitting the streets, which we should, going to Mozambique, going to China and so on, and engaging people and going out after the lost sheep. But they're also going to be drawn to us. And this young man was just drawn to our team. So we engaged him on guitar, taught him a few chords, and he ended up receiving Jesus. So just an example of quite a few of them, and maybe some of the team members will remember some of the pictures of some of the others. But there he is. I had to take that picture because one team member was asleep and couldn't take it. But we won't say who. So there's seats by the windows, so we share for hours because it's a 24-hour train ride. And so we sleep on the other side, and here's some seats by the windows, and we just engage people and share Jesus. And five people gave their lives to the Lord on the first train. When we share that in China, they drop their jaw because they're so used to Chinese taking their time, thinking things through. I'll let you know in about 3 or 4 years whether I've thought this through. And yet, the gospel is powerful unto salvation. And five people on this train received Jesus, and they were just almost like they were waiting. Like, "I'm glad you finally came and sorted this out for me, because I have this Christian grandmother, or I have this person I know at school that's a Christian." And many of them had connections, and that was another change since 2008. So many of them were saying, "I know a Christian, and I like what I see." And that's awesome, isn't it? They're seeing the lives of Christians in China and saying, maybe this person can explain to me why the one I know is different. So very close quarters. But we just get right in, and it kind of, we can block them off from leaving these areas and talk to them for hours. We eat food on the train together. We talk, share. Like, they're so willing to have pictures taken. They like the fact that we want to engage their fellow Chinese on the train, even if they don't want to engage us. They're laughing, the people behind, and we were in the train station, took out the guitars, and people were taking videos and pictures and coming up. And we got some connections before we ever got onto the train. We said, "Hey, we know you." We'd walk down the train. "Hey, we know you. You were in the train station." And we would engage them. But lots of fun. They thought we were rock stars. We told them we were Jesus, for Jesus. Okay, then we moved on, and we actually arrived in Kunming, and we attended a fellowship there, and maybe someone can share a few things about that, what that was like. One of the leaders of the group is actually a German lady that we met who was out of the country several years ago. We delivered some Bibles to her, and she was the head of this fellowship, and we reconnected, but she was out of the country, so one of the leaders of the youth is in the middle there. And this lady's sharing a testimony, a little out of... Okay, you want to give that? We have a microphone right there. I don't know. I'm not getting the roll. There we go.
This was the youth meeting that we had, as evidenced by the people that you're seeing. It was interesting because we invited people to come, and our understanding was that it was a youth meeting, and you know, you see some youth coming in, but then you saw all these kinds of adults and other people, and all of a sudden you realize it's not just a youth meeting, it's now a opportunity to share with several other people. So what we did was, you know, we... that's the first time we experienced this, when we were asked if we could play for worship. And so Pastor Bill and Mike started getting their guitars out, and they had some music, and then all of a sudden our translators walked over and put the music that they wanted them to play over our music, and they said, "Here." And I'm sitting in the back watching, and I see Mike and Pastor Bill going like this. And they're just kind of like, okay, whatever the Lord wants. And they're just kind of staring at it for a second. And then, yeah, it's in Chinese, so they're just kind of like enjoying. So they're just trying to figure out how to play the chords and everything. And then all of a sudden the translators look at them and they're like, okay, we're ready. And they're like, okay. So we had some we had Chinese worship. That's not the only time that happened on this trip. But then we had an opportunity to do a couple of the dramas for them, and then, you know, sticking to some things that we've seen done very successfully in Africa, we gave everybody an opportunity to try some of those things. So the whole class participated in the drama, and or group class. It was a classroom setting. Then we had an opportunity to share kind of the heart behind some of those dramas. This was Bruce. He was the main, I'm not really sure what to call him, pastor, youth leader, but just awesome heart for the Lord, really passionate. Almost his entire family is saved at this point, but he had some really cool testimonies about what the Lord's done in his family. So just kind of from what Pastor Bill was sharing earlier about, you know, the families, you know, it's under the whole household. The Lord seems to be doing that throughout China, so it was really exciting. But we shared a little bit about the dramas and the heart behind the dramas, and then all of a sudden, like, we just started praying, and the glory hit, and Dan, first drama experience. This was Asia, our translator. We started sharing about the heart of the dramas and what it meant, and then we started praying, and Pastor Bill came up with a word of knowledge, and then it just kind of seemed to break loose from there. Everybody, we started releasing words of knowledge, and people came up for prayer, and they started, I don't know if we've got pictures going forward of, you know, ministry, but just people receiving, and oh, this is them doing the dramas. Broken heart, kind of. Awesome preaching. More awesome preaching, sharing testimonies. And then this is one thing I'll share that I really loved about the ministry in China is the hungry hearts. That there were times when we would give words of knowledge and we had to be more clear about exactly what it was that we were calling people up, because basically any time you made any invitation for prayer, everybody rushed up. So we're like, I see a right ear, and everybody's like, so if you want prayer for that, and all they heard was prayer for, and they just, boom, so everybody comes rushing up. But there were some amazing testimonies. That one lady that we saw at the beginning, she was sharing about a vision that she had of, yeah, while we had prayer, she had a vision of Jesus telling her how precious she was. Actually, several supernatural encounters like that. There were several people who had... Pastor Bill's word was about the right ear. He said... and nobody came up. And then that guy right there by Dan, he came up for his ear, but it turned out to be his right one. And we just assumed he didn't hear us initially when we... invited him up. But there were several testimonies of healing. I know his ear was healed, several backs being healed. Which one? Oh, that was one back. If she, yeah, her. Right there. Yep. So, just
they're all going to be in there.
Yeah. Well done on the pictures. But a lot of people just kind of came. We just made an invitation for anybody who wanted to share a testimony, and that just kind of went into longer time of sharing. But the hungry hearts really manifested in their desires.
There it is.
It was really exciting to see all of those things breaking out. So,
absolutely. So we ministered with this group twice, just before that. And some of them really had heartfelt testimonies. They're not typically, you know, crying all the time, Chinese, but when they're touched by the Lord deeply, they will share for the first time on microphone ever. We had that so many times. This is the first time this person has ever shared anything. And then they would share like this in tears. So it was very encouraging because people were involved that had never been involved and being touched by the Lord that had never felt his touch before. So let's see what we have going on here. Roll. Scroll. Ah, whoops. Ah, there. So much ministry over meals in China because it's, right, Troy? Yeah, it was very difficult. They put bowl after bowl on a spinning table, and you can never finish the bowls. They just keep filling them up. So when you're filled up, you quit, and the bowls still have food in them. It's an awesome way of eating. And they invite more people over, you know, and some of the meals that we had, they would come, and this was new to us as well, they would toast. People would come over, and they would bring their tea, their green tea, which was at every meal, and they would come over and they would say, I'd like to toast. And then they go, and we're like, yes, yes, we're with you, brother. Woo, yeah. And then, you know, once in a while we'd get a interpretation of what they were actually toasting, but we were into it, right? We'd take our glasses and we'd clink across the table, and it was pretty fun. But a lot of fellowship and ministry around meals, and you can see why it would spread among families, because they take time to eat. They take a lot of time to eat, and so they spend time in conversation and so on. Someone like to explain what's going on here? Who is that person? Not too many pictures from this, but most of them were on cell phones.
Check. There it is. We had a chance to go to a hospital and pray for a few people. Mainly, we went there with the intent to pray for one specific person, but ended up praying for everybody in the room. So the lady on the far left I'm believing that it's gone. She was diagnosed with a what was the disease? It was a kidney.
Kidney disease.
Kidney cancer, I think is what it was. So, not good. So, we went there and had a chance to pray for her. And just a lot of, you know, really good stuff was prayed out. And just, we're not sure. There were actually some people after the prayer that actually received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Not exactly sure if she did or not, but we're hoping that maybe she understood some of it. So, we had a chance to pray for her, and then her parents also, I think, were the ones that received the Lord. So, and those are her parents to the right, mother and father. The dad is blind, or is mostly blind. So had a chance to also pray for him for healing of blindness. And also, I think there was something else with him too. Oh, I think he had some pains in his back or something, or I'm not sure if it was back. Anyhow, he had some other stuff wrong with him. Pain, I think, in his body. What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. Take that back. Okay, so I'm sorry. This is the person that we intended to pray for, you know, the person we wanted to pray for. And the gentleman is her
husband.
Husband.
Both are Christians.
Okay. Yeah, both are already Christians. So we had a chance to, you know, cast out the disease, the cancer, and just, you know, speak life, pray for healing, and it was really good, which then translated to praying for this lady and her parents, and then another lady on the far right, which we can't really see in the picture. But actually, after praying for the man, he was actually a little bit better. He could see better. He actually could see a little bit more light, more clear, is what was described. Not a total healing instantly, but there was actually some breakthrough, some more healing that he experienced, which is awesome. Yes, Lord.
That's what led to their salvation.
And that led to their salvation as well. And then I think we also prayed for another lady in the far right, which you can't really see, who I think had a similar disease, had, or anybody know what that was? Yeah. Yeah. So basically they all had problems with, you know, either some kind of kidney cancer. So we were, it was amazing prayer when we went in there. It was fantastic. So.
And the people that were surrounding these folks while we were praying, relatives and so on, all in great smiles that we were praying for people. They were tribal people from different places that had come in to visit this young girl here in bed, and they were delighted. They wanted to speak with us and talk with us afterwards and so on. So it's amazing that the people are so open, and unfortunately, you know, they're under a system that's not very open. But more and more we see a great openness in China from 2008 to 2012. It just seems like that country is being totally changed by the Christians that are living there. So if we can roll again. Here we go. Come on, technology. Not happening. Ah, back to that. You can try the magic wand. Hey, there we go. That was good. You got it to change. Okay, who would like to describe what's happening here? We actually met in the mornings, depending on the morning, with two house fellowships. This is the second house fellowship. This was in the basement of a house that was being remodeled, that someone offered to have this fellowship. The lady in the middle is the leader of it. Her name's Molly, M-A-L-I, and she's a dynamo. She went into a factory and led the entire factory to Jesus, 100 people. And so...
So the lady the girl on the right sharing, she was actually our translator for part of this day. But this was during the testimony time. She came up and started sharing about during the ministry time. She'd felt the presence of the Lord in the Father's heart and just kind of the warmth and grace that came with that. There were a lot of testimonies from this specific meeting about people experiencing the peace and love and joy of the Father. And she specifically shared about how she felt in that process, because it was something that she's never really experienced in the natural. It was something that she never really got at home from her own father, and just how that felt and the process, or what the Lord was really doing to her heart. I think she's the one that had a really funny testimony the second or third meeting. I wasn't at that one, but I don't know if we're going to talk about the meeting separately.
Sure, yeah.
So this girl's name is Celine, and as you can probably see in the picture, she's very fashionably dressed. So every day that we were with her, she had on these shoes that could have been used as a weapon. Like if someone was trying to rob her, she could take her shoe off and beat them, and they would die. I mean, they were scary-looking shoes. So we are having this ministry time, and Holy Spirit is just coming, and people are encountering the Lord on the second day, and she was standing at the back. And this was Dan and I, it was our first time at this fellowship. We had been somewhere else the day before, and like Lawrence said, if you offered prayer, everyone comes running. And so Dan and I are standing next to each other, and he turns to me and he goes, "This is like hungry, hungry hippos." And so we're trying to like get through all of these people to get to everyone who wants prayer. And I got all the way to the very back, and Celine is way in the back wearing these shoes. And literally, as I'm walking up to her about to pray, I'm like, wow, Lord, those are really scary looking shoes. And this is relevant to the testimony. So I prayed for her, and I kind of moved on, and I saw there were many people who were experiencing the Lord in a way that they were expressing it physically. So some of them were receiving freedom, and you were seeing a manifestation of that. Some of them were encountering Holy Spirit, you were seeing the manifestation of that. So after we were finished with prayer and opened it up to testimony time, she came forward and said that she had watched what was happening with everyone else, and she realized that if she were to start to shake or to move like the other people while she was wearing these shoes, that it was probably going to go badly. So she had moved over next to a wall and was like leaning against the wall in case she experienced Holy Spirit. She didn't want to like fall and hurt herself. So she comes up and starts sharing about how Holy Spirit came and she started to move. And so she ultimately was not standing by the wall by the time it was all said and done. And she had not experienced baptism in the Holy Spirit before with the evidence of praying or singing in a spirit language. And so she didn't realize herself what was happening, but as things were sort of quieting down in the room, someone next to her said, "You were just singing." And she said, "I was singing." And she had been singing out, and they said, "What language were you singing in? That was not our language." And so she received Holy Spirit in that moment, along with healing and some other things, but in a way that she was able to step into something that she hadn't experienced before and was singing out in a spiritual language without realizing that that's what was happening. And so Ashley and I have invited her to come visit us. She has a visa to the United States, so we are believing that Celine will come and visit us at some point. But she had amazing encounters with the Lord all 3 days of ministry. So
she's been a believer about a year, I guess. I think maybe a little less than a year, maybe 9 months. And she's already gone to each parent, one on Father's Day, and asked for his forgiveness for anything that she might have done against him. And actually, he had, you know, been somewhat physically abusive to her in her past, but she went to him and asked if there was anything that that she should be forgiven for from him, and he didn't know what to do with that. And on Mother's Day, she went to her mother and did the same thing. And this was before we shared on a session on forgiveness, where many people in the meeting were receiving a desire to ask for forgiveness of those that they had offended and to forgive the ones that had hurt them. So she shared her testimony about that, and you know, just such a powerful thing that God is doing in the young people in China. And she has a great desire to see many young people continue to come to him. She sees a change in what's happening with the youth. It's kind of like the Chinese Bethany, okay? In scary shoes, yeah. So a couple of believers went clear across the city to come and meet with us at this fellowship that were in the other fellowship. And they had additional things that they shared that God was doing in their life. So this lady here and this fellow here, this is the guy with the right ear in the other fellowship, they traveled over to this one to take in a meeting and had further things that God was doing in their life. So they're just very hungry. I mean, these distances, I thought it was 9 or 10 million people when we got there. It's 20 million in Beijing, and the distances are very far for them to go, and they're just very hungry. They find the fellowships, and they will, you know, go to several sometimes. So here's that basement scene with people receiving and being touched by him. We had 3 sessions with this group, and there were new people coming in. The last session was the largest one. Many people that were new and giving testimonies of things that the leaders were so encouraged about. One guy came and he had been to several fellowships and he was always saying, you know, please help pray for me because I need to forgive my wife. And she's just, you know, she's a case, and so please forgive. But they all knew that he was beating his wife. And so he had never said, you know, please give her forgiveness for me and give me the courage to go and ask for her forgiveness. But he came to the meeting that where we shared about forgiveness, and he got on the microphone and he said, I want you to pray for me because I want to go and, or I think he came up afterwards, I want to go and ask forgiveness of my wife, which was brand new to him. So dynamic worship to CD until we showed up, and then we joined in. They were so glad to have, many of these places do not have live worship. I guess they did have some live worship, though. I remember now they had keyboard and so on. So they did some CD and some live worship. This is not clicking again. Some of the people sharing testimony time lasted a long, long time. I mean, they take the time, there's the leader again, to share. This young man was was the son of the person that owned the house, and he delivered us back to our hotel a couple of times, and he had a lot of things that went on in his life. His father actually shared, and both this young man and his mother were in tears for the change in the father during these three meetings. Please move. There we go. As I said before, this is the guy that owned the house. Couldn't even speak Mandarin very well. He spoke a kind of a tribal language. But he got up and shared from his heart, and his family was in tears from the things that he had learned from the Lord. Okay. Ministry times were amazing. We all went out and prayed for them. They would have taken prayer 5 or 6 or 7 times probably each. They really have a hunger to go deep in the Lord. Oops, back up, just one. So we again went out for a meal to celebrate all that God had done. And this is in front of the restaurant with just a few of the people that were part of the 3 days. And just had a great time with them. I had Chinese don't normally hug that much, but we were getting hugs from them. They really appreciated the fact that we came all that way to share with them. The lady on the right in the yellow, she is the wife of the guy I spoke about, the lady of the house, so to speak, that offered their basement. She was so desirous of receiving baptism in the Holy Spirit, and all 3 days, she was, the first day she received a little bit, second day she received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and by the third day she was shaking and baking everywhere, and she was so happy, she just could hardly contain herself with everything that God had done for her. So then we took a train, 47 hours, a sleeper train. This time we were spread in different, there's 3 places to sleep normally in a cabin, and this time we were spread into different cabins, so we were right in among the people, and yet we were close to one another, so that all worked out, and it just seemed like it was It was set up for ministry. There were so many people on the train that wanted to talk and share, and you have time to do it over 47 hours, and they're not going anywhere. And there's no officials to snoop up on you and, you know, decide that you're sharing the wrong things and so on. And so 7 people received Jesus on that train from Kunming to Beijing. And many seeds were put into the hearts of people. We got emails, and I started emailing before we left and got a response from some of the ones where the seeds had been planted. So there was one particular guy, his name was Eric. He said, "I'm a scientist." He finally admitted it after he had shared a lot of things back and forth, because he was saying, "You know, what if a scientist said, that God this and God that?" And I said, "Well, you know," and so I engaged him in that, and finally said, "I'm a scientist." Okay. But he just he had very good English, and he was so willing to discuss it and hear and then, read the scriptures. And he said, "As soon as I get off this train, I'm going to go and get a Bible. I'm going to read the book of John and so on." So when I contacted him by email, he was apologizing to me because he didn't quite do it right off the train. But he wants to read the Bible, and he wants to engage on email now. And he had believed in evolution and all the jazz before, but he said in the email, but what you said was so impressive." I like that, because I was saying, "Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. What do I say to this guy? Help, help." He said, "What you said was so impressive. We'll go from there." Okay, let's do it. So then we made it to Beijing, another train station, another city. And we show up at a fellowship, and a couple of people were being baptized in the bathtub in the house church. So some of the guys, I didn't even know this happened. They just pulled them out of the meeting and took them into the bathroom. And we got 2 people that need to be baptized in here. One's a girl and one's a guy. And so we'll take care of the girl. And you guys need to baptize the guy. So who did that? You, Lawrence? All 3 of the guys. I didn't even know what happened. And then they took them in. Hey, it's just awesome. So a couple of people baptized. Things were happening. Didn't even know they were happening. Whoops. Maybe that's the end of it. The end of what I have. Maybe so. So this was a house fellowship that... Again, RCMI in Hong Kong connected us with Beijing, and we visited there. The lady has a bookshop, and she sells only things that are printed in China that are Christian. And so there's not a lot of our type material, no Bill Johnson, no, there's not any even charismatic things that they print much in China. So it's evangelical things, good things, but kind of limited. And so she has a nice bookshop there and offers those materials. And a few people come in. We basically bought out the place, Chinese English Bibles, and we found important those were on the train. Brought one along, and we used it a lot. The pages were falling out of it by the end of it. So a really neat couple had been in China for about 20 years, a Chinese gal and her husband, Marie and John, and we believe that they'll be a contact for us in the future as we go to China, because they're open to the things of the Spirit, and this fellowship was in their home, and many people are coming in, brand new Christians, those that are just seeking, and they just reach out to them in the middle of Beijing. They estimate about 10,000 house churches in the city of Beijing. And so it's spreading. They see it. And we had heard before we went there, it's the capital and it's going to be shut down. It's going to be clamped down. You're going to have to be very careful about what you say. We were witnessing on the streets and with our tour guides when we went to the Great Wall and different things that we did. They were willing to engage us, and And our contacts were good with it. Sometimes they're not when we're sharing in those kinds of situations. But because of the prophetic release on Sunday, our main contact, John, was like an evangelistic inferno on Monday. Well, the word I had for him, that it was, his heart was beating, it was enlarging, it was going to change him, he was going to take risks. The next day, he starts sharing his faith everywhere we went, and it was just so awesome to see that openness to, you know, taking a risk like that when everything's on the line. It's their livelihood, they have friends, and they're set up in China, they've been there 20 years, and yet he's taken a risk to share with people that we contacted that day as we traveled together to see the Great Wall. We ended up going to a children's home, to a place where there were what they called orphans. We, of course, don't call them that here in this fellowship, because we know the Father is after their hearts. But it's quite a unique story. A couple went to China. They started some kids, got a heart to minister to some kids that had physical and mental disabilities. And so they started having them in their home. Then, you know, that gets crowded. And so they wanted to find a place where they could, you know, build something. So they were gaining some funds, some donations, and they found a piece of land, but it was owned by the government. So they went to they thought they would go to the government and present their idea, but before they could, the government came to them and said, you need to buy this piece of land. And they said, okay, what's that going to be? How much is that going to be from the government? And they gave them the amount, and they thought it was obviously a misprint. A dollar, basically, one kwai, which is even less than a dollar, like a sixth of a dollar. Oh, is this correct? Yes. And so the government allows them to come in as a Christian ministry, knowing they're a Christian ministry, and set up this home for these kids that are physically and mentally challenged. And so they took a lot of that money that they had for the land and put it into the buildings and got more donations. And so they have quite a campus to minister to these kids, many Chinese staff as well as American volunteers that come in during the year and work there. So we visited that place, loved on the kids for an afternoon and had a good time there, and sewed into another building that they're building to expand their operations. So that was fun. Kids are always fun. You can look through this book. They're just precious people. You can look at this afterwards. And the ones ministering are obviously sold out to helping these kids. Okay, what am I missing? Okay, yeah, so did a couple of other little things. Went to not the Secret Kingdom. Now I'm catching on to yours. Forbidden City. So where the emperors lived for several centuries. We went in there and ended up focusing on our tour guide. So what was supposed to be an hour and a half, ended up...
five.
Oh, no, couldn't have been an hour. About 4.5 hours, because we were sharing with this young tour guide, and she was well-versed in a lot of topics and a lot of subjects. We even had a little bit of a moment where she was starting to get very frustrated, and she started to spit out her words towards me and kind of splashed a little bit on my face. And so I thought, maybe we should calm down from here. You're catching this all wrong. She thought it was against Chinese culture because I was trying to contrast Buddhism with Christianity. So I calmed that down, shook her hand. She started smiling again, shook her hand again. She started, let's go from here. And then each of the, a lot of the team members were had a chance to share into this young girl's life. And by the time we were ready to leave the tour, it was almost like she'd shake our hand and then she'd shake our hand and she wanted to almost follow us out of the place. Because again, what I discovered is you'll know whether someone is open if they say something they wouldn't normally say. For instance, Elvin on the train, I realized the first train, first person that we met, I realized he was going to come to the Lord because I told him, I have the best job in the world. I go around and I give out good news. And he's like, good news. Okay, so I said, people are my business. So you're like a father. Now, that's not what I would expect him to say. Teacher, you know, or something like that. But father? That makes no sense whatsoever. So I knew Holy Spirit had given him that. And that he was on his way to receiving the Lord. And sure enough, he received the Lord. And we found many people like that. They were giving an indication from their mouth they are going to receive the Lord. So I would just, this morning, that's the one thing I would like to share with you as a summary of some of the things that we're sharing. Look for that when you're talking with someone. Something that Holy Spirit puts in their mouth that they speak out to you, and it's an indication to you, keep on pressing in to talk to this person. Don't just say, well, they don't seem that interested. Look for that one thing that comes out of their mouth that doesn't fit at all, and they're wide open to the gospel. Well, that the Holy Spirit's trying to tell you through them, they're wide open to the gospel. Keep on, you know, engaging them. Keep on developing a relationship with them. And we also had other experiences where nothing came out of their mouth other than they wanted to, you know, engage and talk and continue to hear about things. And we did let them drift off. You know, we did let them go. We didn't chase them down and think that today was their day. We said, read the Gospel of John. You know, contact us by email. We'll try to contact you as well. So you can kind of know who you should spend your time with. The open ones are going to be the ones to receive the Lord. And Holy Spirit might direct you to spend time with someone that's not that open for a long time. And we did. When we felt directed to do that as well. But I guess what I'm saying is, it'll even come out of their mouth when they're ready to receive the gospel. And that was just an extra special thing to learn from this trip. So we went the last night. Seemed to be craziness. We're going to get ready to leave about 3:45 in the morning, and we decide to go to a meeting at 6:30 at night, thinking, oh, we should probably get done about 9:30. It's a long ways from where we're situated in a hotel, but we're going to go after it. It's an English corner and another house meeting with people that have come back to China for various reasons, some of them to be an impact on China for the gospel's sake. So we sent our teams in two different directions, and one went to the house group and one went to the English corner. It's the largest English corner in the world. And an English corner means they want to come and they want to learn English, but they want to hear you speak it. That type of thing. They just speak and talk. That's the setup. So it's on a college campus, and hundreds of people show up on a Friday night. And so this guy told us at a church that we had gone to that we forgot to share about. We went to a Korean church on Sunday when we first got into Beijing. Need to back up to that. We arrived on Saturday. We went to church on Sunday. And there's 2,000 people in this church. They have ushers. They have greeters, they have parking lot attendants. It's like a regular church. And it's existing in the city of Beijing wide open. I don't know how they do it. We didn't get a chance to really talk to anyone. How in the world can this exist? I mean, everybody's in house churches being careful not to have too many members in the house church to alert the authorities. And you have this church of 2,000. You know, how is that happening? But again, I believe God is changing things. He's allowing the connections. There are people in the government, we heard over and over again, that are coming to Christ, and they're sheltering these fellowships. They're sheltering these churches that are starting to rise up, and they're starting to believe they're going to take over, you know, the country in the sense. We're going to, no matter what the government is, they don't rail against their government. They just, whatever the government is, we're going to be kingdom people. And we're going to rise up. And you can just see the confidence growing. And this fellowship was just free. They weren't, you know, looking around for informants or anything else. It was just awesome to see it. And we got a chance to go in there and speak out Father's love. And I don't think they've had that message. Oh, there's nothing like it. You go in and you just say, the Father loves you. Do you know that He took 6 days to create the entire universe and 9 months just on you? Why did He take so much time to do that? And they're sitting there like, oh. Of course, all the team members had heard that 15 times on the trip from me, but they had never heard it. And they just, you could just see inside of them this longing for their Father. And we presented some worship and a couple of dramas there, and they were just so hungry for the Father's heart. In a situation that's, you know, they're strong Christians and had a great pastor and some leaders that we met, just awesome, but they're not familiar with the message of the Father's heart. It's like bringing water to a desert in one sense. They're getting along as Christians, they're going through their life, but then to really deeply realize how much Father God loves you, it changes everything. It puts it at a whole new level. Everything changes, you know, for their lives when they can realize what's going on with the Father's love. So the Lord brought to me a message while I was in China that you cannot be powerful unless you feel valuable. Unless you feel valuable to Father God, you're never going to be as powerful as you want to be in Holy Spirit, because all those things will hold you back. You know, self-doubt, feeling that you're not good enough, feeling you're not pleasing the Lord, that you're not that valuable to Him. Those will hold you back from being as powerful in Holy Spirit as you want to be. So if you're running into a ceiling this morning, you know, the worship's going great and everything else, you're like, yeah, oh, I wish I could break through. It might have something to do with healing that needs to take place on the inside of your life. And you know, when you see that breakthrough in someone brand new to this in China, and they receive all that the Father wants to give to them, then you can see Holy Spirit go as far and as deep as He really wants to go, because they have no roadblocks anymore. There's nothing in their heart that's stopping anything. It's just wide open, and their heart can be enlarged and can beat harder, you know, for the people that are lost and can take risks. And so we saw that with some of the people that we ministered to. And just, there's nothing sweeter than that, to give out that message and see new freedom come in new levels to them. So this English corner, about probably 200-300 people showed up, I would guess, at the peak of it. And it's very fluid. There's a lot of people that come there just to share English, and there's lots of people that come just to engage English speakers. So they have this cool circle in the middle of their campus, about 50,000 students, just a small little university, they say. And it's called Remnant University, government sponsored to the max. They said this is a government university set up by the government. It's all government, government, government. And yet here's this English corner, an opening for the gospel. Great big circle in the middle of campus that had pipes in it in order to flow up like a fountain, but for some reason they didn't turn it on. So people would just gather around this circle, and throughout the circle, hundreds of people ended up coming wanting to learn something about English. So, of course, we happen to know English. We're not too great at Mandarin. English. We showed up there, three of us to start with, and by the end of it, all six of us were there. Take out the guitars, you start playing. There's a group of people that will come. I said it's very fluid, so they're in and out. And so you're giving the same testimonies over and over again, and you're engaging people. They have questions about culture. They want to know what you think about American politics, about what you think about Chinese politics, and so on. And so, of course, we were careful about what we said about any politics because that wasn't the issue. I told them, you know, they said, oh, so do you believe China's going up economically and America's going down? And I said, well, that could be. But you know what? The kingdom economy is over it all. And they would sit there and go, what? They had never heard anything like that, of course. Again, it's such a joy to bring new information to people. But the kingdom economy is over both of it, so it doesn't really bother me if the American economy is having a struggle. And they were new to that because they're thinking, oh my gosh, if China doesn't rise, we're all in trouble. And yet they got a picture that if they're part of the kingdom of God, they don't have to worry about anything. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And you share that with them, and they process. You could see them processing as we shared with them. And then occasionally we'd say, anyone that would like to pray can pray right now. Or we had individual people that wanted to receive the Lord. And they would just, you know, pray out loud, maybe a little quietly to receive the Lord. You could see the difference in their countenance when they were done. And then plants all kinds of seeds in this situation where you're talking about culture, you're talking about English for a little bit, and then you're sharing the gospel in the midst of this. I do a lot of drama when I share, so I don't know how many times I said, and Jesus died on the cross for you, for me. And then he rose from the dead. And by the end of it, they were all kind of like, you know, they wanted to do it with me. You know, it's, drama has that effect. And of course, the crowd would get a little bit bigger because they'd hear me blast my big mouth voice out, you know, ways, and they would draw, and then they'd say, please, 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 do a song. I said, I just did one. And they said, we missed it. Please do a song. So they would be taking pictures and video, and you'd do a song for them, and they'd say, I play guitar, but I can't play like that. And I said, well, I couldn't either, but Holy Spirit is the one that's helping me do that. That was new to them, of course. And I said, I was downloaded how to play lead guitar just within the last 3 years. You didn't have to practice? Because in China, it's about education. It's about you have to practice something to be good. Of course, they don't have any idea what it's like to have something downloaded from heaven. Again, so much joy to share with them. Their Father gives good gifts. He cares about them so much that he'll give them things that they don't have to work for. They don't have to press in for, you know, on their own. That he'll come alongside as their good shepherd and lead them to living water and green pasture and so on. So I would say these things and they would draw in. You could just see in the eyes those that were hungry, those that were interested. And you'd give an opportunity to receive the Lord. And other team members were sharing. They were doing music in another spot. And just a very crazy environment. So about 5+ hours standing, sharing with people that didn't want to leave. We actually left with kind of an entourage as we went out to find taxis because the subways were closed. And it was cool. We got taxis because they don't like to stop for Americans or whites because they don't know the language. They're a little bit embarrassed. So the taxi driving along, it looks like they're going to come over and pick you up, and then they see you're white, you know. So we had to have the Chinese go out and kind of flag them down, and it took a while to get a couple taxis, and of course the taxi drivers have no idea where we're staying, and yet somehow they get led back to where we're supposed to be, and away we go. But all I can say is that it's awesome to report to you that China is changing. by the power of the Holy Spirit. We came there to minister. We were ministered to by the hungry hearts in house fellowships are just so desirous of having everything from Holy Spirit. Many of the ones that we visited. And the one time that Holy Spirit going on, I think they got a taste of what could be if they opened up their hearts a little bit and got over some of the, you know, religious types of things that are in many places of the world, including our own country and our own churches. So I guess I would just like to end with some of the testimonies from some of the people. If you could lead that, Deanne and Ashley, maybe, that are on these sheets here. You can just read off some of the ones that were shared. Again, a lot of the testimonies are shared in Chinese, so and the translators get all excited, and so they leave us, and they're part of the process. And so when we did get a translator that was able to tell us some of the things that the people were sharing, we tried to write them down really quickly because we didn't always get the translation. So I'll just read a sampling of some of those.
I wanted to share something from the English corner that was really significant to me. There was a girl there who came up when I was sharing with people, and it was almost like she wanted to help me share. And eventually she said, well, I used to be a Christian, but I've walked away from the Lord, and I read the Bible 5 times, but I don't believe anymore. But she's still, like, sharing and trying to help me share the gospel, even though she was saying that she doesn't believe. So after we shared the gospel with others, I got a chance to take her aside and just engage her more. And she basically said, you know, well, I never heard God's voice. And I just had the honor to like introduce the voice of the Lord to her and teach her how to hear the voice of the Lord. And at the end, she was just, oh my gosh, I hear God. And I said, do you want to rededicate? Do you want to bend your knee only to Jesus and say no more to confusion? And so she accepted Christ again, and she was like, well, can I hear all the time? And so I led her in like many different questions to the Lord, and she's like, I've never felt this happy. So that was just really powerful and exciting.
Afterwards.
Okay. Well, these that we have up here are mostly from that second day of ministry at Molly's church. Because as I think Pastor Bill just mentioned, we didn't always have a translator telling us what was going on. So in this moment, we did. So I scribbled really fast. But there was an older woman. She had silver gray hair and was one of the first ones sharing when we had a translator. And she basically, as she was sharing, had a total overhaul of her whole physical body. She stood up there and she told us that she had had wrist pain that was healed. She had problems in her feet that were healed. And that she had been diagnosed with high blood pressure, but she felt like that had changed. Obviously, we didn't have a way to test that to know for sure. But that she felt like there had been a change in her high blood pressure, and that she believed that her eyesight had improved. So all of this was happening, and I just had come over to where the translator was because it's really hard to be excited about being engaged when you don't have a clue what's going on. So this was the first testimony that I heard while I was standing there. And so the next woman came up right after her, and she had been watching what was going on around her. And like I said, there were a lot of physical demonstrations of what Holy Spirit was doing. And she finally decided to close her eyes to just receive whatever Holy Spirit wanted to do for her. And she said that she felt heat at her head and that it traveled down her body like electricity. So she asked for healing. She was probably in her 50s. It's really hard to guess with Chinese. They look very young. But she was probably in her 50s, and she had taken her glasses off. And when she opened her eyes, she said that her eyesight had improved. She still needed her glasses, but she said that she had felt a significant change in her eyesight. I think we had shown a picture of Ivan or Ivan, however he pronounced it. He was the boy whose parents owned the house that we were using, and he was probably 18 or 19 years old. He's coming to the States, or had been in the States, for a private high school, so his English was fairly good. And he actually translated his testimony himself. But while we were doing ministry that second day, he was very obviously receiving from the Lord. And when he came up to share, basically Jesus had come to him and told him, I'll find it and read it. He saw a picture of how God created him and that Jesus was speaking to him about that being the closest relationship that he could have in his life would be between he and the Lord, and that he really wanted that relationship to improve. And then he shared with us why that was so significant. When he had been a little boy, he had asked his mom, just like most little kids would, well, where did I come from? Where do babies come from? Where did I come from? Well, his mom, and, you know, she's a mom. She was trying to gracefully answer the question, had said something to the effect of, oh, I found you on the mountain. And so he had taken that as a small child, very literally, like, I didn't really come from anywhere. They just picked me up on the side of the mountain. And so he is sharing, and his mom is bawling, because I just had the sense that she had had no idea that this casual response had caused pain to him. So he is in tears that God created me and he loves me, and she's in tears because I didn't know that I hurt him so badly and look what God's doing. And so it just was really neat to see God bring restoration and things that we would encourage you to take freedom class here or to participate in many of the avenues we have for freedom. And God was just doing it for these people that, you know, we didn't have 6 weeks of sessions with Cynthia in the room, you know. It was like, okay, here we are, and we want to release whatever God is doing. So those are just a handful of testimonies. That day we had, as it was mentioned, that several men came up. It was like man after man after man after man, and they're very stoic naturally, and so they're coming up and they're expressing, and I mean, whole families of people are crying because of what was being shared and the freedom and healing and forgiveness that was being released that day. And then the following day again, Pastor Bill was able to share specifically about forgiveness because it was easy to catch the direction that Holy Spirit was going when everyone is sharing what had been spoken. But as it was happening, it just was really, really clear to me, but probably I believe to the whole team, like it had to be God because it was too good to be us. There was just no way that we could generate the kind of response that was happening in the room. And so it was really exciting to see what God was doing specifically with that house church, but in each of the venues that we had been in. And Dan is going to share some highlight of his trip to China. Dan's highlight to China was dumplings. But beyond that.
So my first trip with Frontline, but kind of my first trip, you know, mission trip in general. I did one back in 2000 when I just finished high school, but it was not really so much of a mission trip. So I consider this like my first mission trip. So, China's really special to me. It's a place that I've wanted to go to for a long time. A really good friend of mine, Dave, some of you know, he lives there now. So I've heard stories from him for several years about China. And so I felt like I had this really deep attachment to this country. And then after Laura and I moved up here, I heard that they were going to China for a mission trip, you know, and I was like, oh, I'd really like to go, but Thomas was getting ready to be born. You know, I don't know if it's going to work out. Long story, Laura told me to go. My trip got paid for miraculously. I'm just, it's like, wow, you know? So we get to Hong Kong, and I'm like, you know, Mike and I roomed together the whole time. It was like college again. It was awesome. And we kept telling each other, we're like, we're in China. And for me, especially, to say that over and over again, like, I'm in China right now. It was almost seemed unbelievable the whole time I was there. So many awesome things happened. You know, the food is obviously excellent. I'm kind of a cook myself, so I was taking mental notes the whole trip, you know, how to make all this different stuff. And Lawrence and I are huge dumpling fans. In China, they're called jiaozi. So I wanted to get this. I wanted to have these dumplings, you know, for the first half of the trip. I always wanted dumplings, and the only time you could find them was on the street, and you're not really supposed to eat stuff on the street. So after one of the meetings, when we've been, you know, praying and ministering to these people, you know, for a long time, one lady in particular, she had a lot of stomach pains, and I prayed for her, and she told the translator while I was praying for her, she felt the pain shrivel up and go away. So then she goes into the kitchen and starts making me dumplings. So, you know, in the back of my mind, the whole trip, I'm like, Lord, I really want dumplings. I really want dumplings. And could never really get them. And then after this ministry time, we're sitting down waiting for dinner, and they bring out this huge tray of just all these dumplings. And so it was kind of, for me, it was like manna. You know, it was like, oh, yes. So, you know, more than I could possibly eat. So it was awesome. You know, just the train, being on the train was really, really cool. Because you're like Pastor Bill said, you're sleeping, you know, right next to Chinese people. You're sitting right next to them. You're eating the same food, you know. And for me, I had taken some time to learn a little bit of Mandarin, so I could talk to them a little bit in the language. So that helped me to even deepen my connection with the trip and with the country. So the trains was really awesome because you're kind of getting down to the nitty-gritty and rubbing elbows with local Chinese people, partaking in their culture, you know, in a way kind of becoming like them and sharing the gospel with them, talking about fun stuff with them, and just making these really deep friendships that I feel like I've got friends over there now that next time I go over, you know, it'd be cool to try and hook up with some of these people. We have their emails and stuff. But just, you know, so many amazing things. The last night in particular, you know, for me, by that point, you know, I was loving every minute of China, but really missing my wife and kids. So, you know, really looking forward to going home. And then we do this huge ministry thing the last night. You know, you're tired. You know, you have on your mind, you know, we're going home tomorrow. We got to wake up really early. But the last night I felt, in a spiritual perspective, was really, really rewarding for me because during the English corner, it was me, Pastor Bill, and Ashley. And, you know, I kind of joke with Laura a lot, but, you know, the average person speaks, like, I don't know, 3,000 words a day or something. And I'm lucky if I get over 1,000, you know. So when I was here and I was going to the English corner, and it was me, Ashley, and Pastor Bill, and there was, like, hundreds of Chinese. I'm like, Lord, you're going to have to make up the other 2,000 for today. So, but it was really awesome for me because for a big chunk of the time, it was me, this Taoist, you know, kind of anything goes college girl, and then this very, very well-versed, well-educated Muslim guy from Pakistan. So it was us three talking for probably 2-3 hours straight about our different religions and going back and forth about the differences. And so for me to really get down to really deep stuff, because I really like talking about that kind of stuff, especially with other people that don't agree with me. So to spend that kind of time getting that deep on the last night and really sharing my faith and all that kind of stuff was really, really rewarding. So
tell about how the tattoo went over.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so this is weird. The tattoos below my elbow were before I was baptized with the Spirit, and the tattoo above is after I was baptized with the Spirit. So, you know, I kind of prayed to the Lord for a while. You know, Lord, you know, I really want to have your name on my arm. That's really cool. You know, should I do this? Blah, blah, blah. And I really felt like he told me, he's like, are you kidding? Are you even going to ask that? Yes, go do it. Go do it. So we found out on the train, especially on the train, but the whole trip, it, like, 7 or 8 different occasions, that's what got the gospel out in the open. Like, they saw tattoos, they're asking, what is this? Some of them could read the English, Jesus. And that's like an open door. So especially on the train when we're really close quarters, for Mike and I, because he and I kind of went around together and talked to a lot of people, that's what opened so many of the doors to actually get the gospel out there. So I'm kind of like a walking billboard.
So well, that was another change from 2008 because there was so much consciousness about being security. You know, worrying about security, and we were trying to figure out how to, you know, between Dan and myself, how to cover that up in the right situations. You know, the Jesus, that's kind of a security breach right off the top. So we don't wear our T-shirts there and things like that, team T-shirts, just because of the security issues. Because they, you know, we could cause problems again for the missionaries there. But the missionaries that we ran into and every place else, we started out thinking, well, we could have put a Band-Aid across it. So we had a Band-Aid across it for just a short time. And it just seemed as though this isn't going to be a problem. This is going to be a plus. And so you have to hear that because you're putting ministries at risk. But he just kept it uncovered the rest of the time. And what's really cool is many of the officials that would take us in don't speak English at all. And the people are wanting to learn it in droves. So it's an advantage. And it, even his tattoo became an advantage on the train because they were wanting to, oh, that's a cool one. We like that one. What's it say? You know, and he just had an open door. I just would say that pray for the Chinese people when the Holy Spirit brings that to your heart, because, again, you're joining a snowball running down a hill. If you remember in 1989 when the Berlin Wall, just suddenly it's on the news and somebody's on top of it with a sledgehammer smacking down what in my generation was the impossible, taking down the Berlin Wall without getting shot or taken into custody. It was just a quick turnaround. And everything that we've learned since that time is it's about the prayer of the saints. It's about, you know, Christians believing that God is bigger than any wall. So the Chinese tried to keep out, you know, invaders with their great wall, and it was an abject failure because of heart issues. The people on the wall, they were soldiers, but they also had needs, and so they would let the Mongols through or whatever group it was by just, you know, corruption. They would let them through, pay me, I'll let you through. I know a place through the wall. And so the wall was never something that would stop invasion. And so they're not going to be able to stop the invasion of the gospel now. It was clear to us that it's on a snowball going down a mountain. And even the officials are starting to, you know, even though you hear in various parts of China, wow, they're really cracking down. But you know how it is when you live there and you know, you're sensing certain things and in your area, it's this way. But we got to travel across China from southwest up to the northeast by trains, speaking to all kinds of different people. And we see it as, man, this place is opening up. God is doing something big in the Chinese people. And so we were able to encourage those, even that were a little bit afraid of taking a risk, because so many are in China, and the officials are starting to back off. They're starting to back up a little bit. And that's why they're trying to clamp down. But the more they try, they are taking steps back while they're trying to clamp down. That's the way we saw it, I think, in the spirit. So the end all of that is we need to pray more now than ever for China and what's happening there for the gospel's sake. Because this is the time when, who knows, that government might just say, I give up. I'm going to let democracy rule, or I'm going to let something of a different nature rule so that Christians can share without a problem. Muslims seem to have massive mosques there. Buddhists have their big temples, but it's the Christians that are persecuted, of course. And so it's a spiritual problem. But it's turning around. We report to you today. We declare today it is turning around in this massive country of 1.4 billion or 0.5. You know, if you talk to a Chinese, it's up to 1.5 now. They're very proud of their culture. And we have to realize there are far more Chinese than there are Americans. And the Lord loves them so much that he's coming in and rescuing them in droves. And we want to be behind that. We want to see that increase and accelerate. So, Father, we just say to you, Lord, we know you are rescuing so many people in China estimated 25,000 to 30,000 a day coming to Christ in China, Lord. And Lord, 10,000 house churches estimated in Beijing alone. Father, just multiply it all. Multiply it all unto the households. Unto the households, Lord. It's working. So many testimonies, Lord, of how you saved a grandmother, saved a cousin and a brother. And now they're meeting people that know Jesus as well, and they bend their knee because they've already seen the example lived out. And you are preparing them for our visit, that our path would cross their path and they would be a believer and add to the household. And God, let those ones that were brought into the kingdom, let them expand the kingdom by telling more of their relatives and friends. And let this multiply like a fire in a grassy field, Lord, across China, Lord. Even as we took our trek from southeast or from southwest to northeast, Lord God, let that fire just go across China with the gospel, the good news for China, good news for the United States, Father. You died, Jesus, on the cross for us. You arose from the dead. You ascended into heaven. You're at the right hand of the Father, just interceding for us. You sent us Holy Spirit, powerful Holy Spirit, to live inside of us. They have nothing like that in the faiths of the East. But now, more know about that truth. More know about that good news. And we say, let it go. Let it fly. Let it be released to more and more and more, God, that we will hear that the government is changed, that the whole system that they're under is changed because the gospel has brought a light so bright into China that they have to back off and they have to back up. We pray that every person that we were in contact with would be protected by even government people that know Jesus, that those people in the government that know Jesus would step up and protect the Christians. They would use their influence to protect the house churches, to protect the missionaries, to protect people that have come in from all over the world to share Jesus in China, to protect that one that is living alone, not knowing another Christian. Father, we pray that you would bring them that friend that knows Jesus. Let them be protected, Lord. Let them be protected as they search and they ask questions, that they don't run into the informants, that they don't run into the security people, but they run into fellow brothers and sisters that know the Lord. Father, we ask for a fathering that will happen in China. They are Christians, but often acting like orphans rather than children of the kingdom. I pray you would bring in a fathering spirit over China, over the entire length and breadth of China, Lord, that they would know that their father loves them so deeply and that they would find a father in the faith to learn from and grow. Father, in their faith in you and to receive more from Holy Spirit. We pray more for China, more, Lord, for Hong Kong, more for mainland China, every city, Lord, with many house churches and churches coming into the open like the Korean church in Beijing, Father, 2,000 members estimated, and they're doing it in the open. God, I pray that the government would have to keep their hands off because it's such a growing movement. They have to get along with this growing movement. They can't clamp down on them anymore. It's too large. It's too influential. It's too filled with people from their own government. God, win those that are in the government of China more and more to the gospel's sake so that they can protect the Christians and the house churches, Lord. We bless you. We bless your name. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Our tour guide to the palaces that just go on and on with gate after gate, huge building after huge building in the Forbidden City. Our tour guide made an interesting comment. She said, when I think of Christians, I think of love. When I think of Taoists, I think of one of their sayings, which is, by doing nothing, you're doing everything. When I think of Buddhists, and she was a Buddhist, I can't think of anything to describe them. Now, let's see. Let's get this right. Christians, when you think of them, you think of love. When you think of your own faith, you can't even think of a word that would positively describe them. And when you think of Taoists, you think of some phrase that they have, which is, if you do nothing, you're doing everything. It just seemed like in her mind, she's even putting Christians in a great light, and she disagreed with us the entire trip through Forbidden City. So we spent a lot of time with her, and maybe that's the statement from Holy Spirit that's going to capture her heart. It didn't capture it that day, but she has our email, and she may email us back, and if she does, I'm going to let you know about it. Because the Chinese that we minister to in China normally aren't in groups. They're one at a time, just because of the nature of it. Occasionally, we have these great opportunities to get some Chinese together, like the English corner with many unbelievers there, or like the house churches that have a group of believers together. But on the trains and places that we went, it was many times just one person at a time. And you think, what effect could that have? Come on. This is 1.4, 1.5 billion people. But what if that person is the Billy Graham of China? What if that person is the Reinhard Bonnke of China that we talked to and we spent time with? What if the ones that we sowed seed in counted the cost of following Jesus in a persecuted nation, and they rose up and started a movement that took over China? Then we're not going to be saying, wow, that was just one person. We're going to say that was one leader, that was one Joshua that took the promised land for the Lord Jesus Christ. So please pray into those individual lives. I know you'll be hard to remember individual names, and you didn't have the experiences of going there. But think in terms of individuals as well when you pray for China, not just one big glob of 1.4 or 1.5 million people. There are individuals that are going to rise up and change that nation. So we just speak that out and bless those people that we were in touch with, and that they will touch lives as well.
I really appreciate having this whole service dedicated to what the Lord's really doing in China, and the way that was presented today from a perspective of really touching individual lives. And how many of us know that our life is so valuable to the Lord? Every part of who we are is just absolutely on God's mind, right at the very top. We're not a second thought. And so to hear about these individual stories and some of the collective stories as well is so significant, because the Lord cares for the one, stops for the one, wants us to do that. But as Pastor Bill said, there's a bigger picture in mind. He doesn't say, well, it's the masses, and then I forget the little guy or girl. He says it's both together. So he's using this as an opportunity for whatever his bigger plan is. And I believe the hungry, fiery, crazy ones, he's revealing those bigger plans too. So it's very significant that Frontline has been in China. This is the fifth time. And I've only been there once, and that was the last trip. And my life was changed by being in China significantly, and I know I'll be going back again. And when I was there, they're waiting for me, good, because I want to go there again. And with the fire of the Holy Spirit, with the eyes of the understanding, I'm trusting that these folks are speaking about, the eyes of the understanding of the Lord, of what he's saying and doing right now. Shortly after we were engaged in the China experience in 2008, Pastor Bill and I were riding bikes in Jackson Township, and both of us together looked up in the sky, and we had a portrait that was painted by the Lord for both of us to see. And he was saying, I have marked you. I've marked this ministry. Well, you hear a lot about Indonesia and Ghana and Mozambique and other nations as well, and we do travel to them, Brazil. And so the Lord is really very serious about what he's doing in this ministry, in this family, And he has an intent to individually deal and work with each one of us and grow this up as well. And to take this way beyond what we can even understand, which is what he wants to do for this mission experience as well. And when we saw this portrait painted in the sky, and we were literally riding bikes, and we saw the country of China clearly defined in the sky. And I said, whoa, look at that, honey. Do you see that? And he says, yes, I see that. And he says, do you see this? And he saw the Pastor Bill saw the Father's hands that were golden, like a brass gold kind of a combination, that were right next to that. And then next to that on the left side was the picture of an eagle. It was the American eagle. And it was launched. It was perched, and it was launching up. It was absolutely incredible. It was fearful. You know, it's just like, oh, what are you saying? And before any of that, what really drew us to that sky picture was the word clearly written in the most beautiful cursive, S-P-I-R-I-T, all the way across the sky. And we both saw it together. It's like, whoa. Now that's the spirit of the fear of the Lord gripping our hearts saying, are you getting this? So to listen to the timing, to listen to how he wants to do what he wants to do, is what he's all about. So Lord, is this the year? Is this the time? Are these the people? All of that. That's what he's speaking about right now. So I was really encouraged this morning to hear these things, because the Lord is saying, pay really close attention. When you hear about dumplings, there's a significance there. When you hear about, well, there's, you know, we're on a train doing this, and there's significance there. It's not just a missionary report. Those frankly bore me. I say that sincerely. It's like, okay, and here's we did this, and we did this, and we did this, and we did this. I get bored by that really easily. And so what doesn't bore me is when I hear, here's what God is doing, here's what he is doing through me, through this team, and here's the bigger picture. Pastor Bill and I were talking yesterday, and we were talking about how the Lord has been revealing to those who hear prophetically. He's saying, I'm doing something in China. The house churches in China are little pieces of kindling, if you will, that are raising up and becoming an inferno. And they're all over the nation. And so many thousands are being saved in a day. But he's saying the hidden ones are erupting. And there's going to be a giant eruption. What part of that do you want to see? So as we pray into that, and we see, well, this team went into some of the underground churches, and we did some, a la 2008, and we'll do more. The Lord is saying, I'm selecting and I'm choosing the ones who have eyes to see what I'm doing, and my power is going to race through them. So there's no time anymore for, I'm not sure what I believe about healing. I'm not sure what I believe about deliverance. The Lord is saying, you better find out, because my power is moving through the radical fiery ones. And so we say that lovingly, but I'm saying in this house, there are some places that we've already gone in the spirit. And he's saying, if you're new, come on in, let's grab hearts and let's step in and see what he's doing so we can partner in a better way, a more consistent and a quicker way with what he's doing all over the nation. With that in mind, we have a team next week leaving Sunday night, in the middle of the night, for Mozambique. And so we'll be here and kicking it up again. Oh, I shouldn't come. It's just going to be about Mozambique. No, it's going to be about Jesus. We may share a few things of what the Lord has planned, possibly. We'll see what he does. But we really encourage you, bring your family, bring your friends. There's a momentum that's raising here. I'm really excited about what God's doing in this hour. We were going to spend some time talking about what happened at First Friday today, but maybe we'll save some of that for next week. First Friday in downtown Canton was so remarkable that we're inviting you, as we're in Mozambique, if you've not been there or you're not typically going, would you please come? Would you mark it on your calendar? When Tom Carr was down there, and he'll tell you more next week, when he was down there and he was just standing off the side away from the booth, away from the music, which was the worship music, which I literally saw a glory cloud coming down the street. I was on the other side of the tent, and the music was on one side. I was on the other side, and I was doing this. Whoa! Because there was so much power that was coming. It's like, wow! And Tom was standing farther out in the crowd and engaging this one guy. And maybe we have just time for that testimony. You've got to see, God is just so strong right now. He's saying, don't just show up and hear and go, bravo. Enter in right now. If you feel like you don't know what you're doing, join the family. Because we are stepping out going, I don't know what it's looking like, but I really want to. So Tom, come share. I was really touched. It was at the end. And that if there's anything else for First Friday, maybe next week. And then Cynthia's got a really good message. So there's things going on here and abroad. And that's what's so exciting about Frontline. Because we didn't start this. He did. He said, are you willing? Will you do this? Okay. Yikes. Overseas and here? Yikes. Again. And he's saying, yes. That's my heart. Jump in. So I'm inviting you. First Friday of August. We won't be here. There'll be some leading it. Please come.
Okay, I'll make this short. I know it's late and I need to go to the bathroom. So, but it's a really great testimony. There was a couple who came. They weren't supposed to be there. He had lost his wallet earlier in the day, which caused them to miss the event they were supposed to go to. They ended up at First Friday. And things were winding down. They were about to leave, but she heard the Holy Spirit tell her, turn to the right past the Arcadia Grill, just see what's down there. Well, our tent was down there. So they ended up in front of our tent, and we had the worship music going on and started chatting with them. Anyway, to make the story short, I did a prophetic word for her. I don't draw pictures. I do words. So if you don't come to First Friday because you feel you can't draw, still come because you can just write out words, which is, they love that too. So as I was praying to Holy Spirit to give me a word for her, and Bethany was doing a word for her fiancé, who was also there, I heard five words, three of which were pretty heavy and kind of negative, and two were much more positive and encouraging. And I gave her the three heavy words first. I heard brokenness, fractured, and walking with a limp. And as I said those words to her, her jaw just dropped, and then she told me that several years ago, she, in front of her eyes, she had seen her husband murdered. Her son was there. She's now estranged from her son. Several months, I think 3 months after that, her mother died of cancer. 4 months after that, her father died of cancer. And 6 months after that, she ended up with cancer. So, and that's, I said, the brokenness in your life, obviously, is this tragedy you've gone through. And I said, the walking with a limp, I think it just must feel to you like you're not walking the way God wants you to walk. Everything doesn't quite seem to fit. Nothing makes any sense. You know you should be happy and joyful in this season in your life. Good things are happening, but you don't feel it. And she said, yes, all that's true. And then I gave her the two encouraging words, which were really about restoration and the opening up of the floodgates. And I said, in this season, I began to speak prophetically to her. I said, in this season, God is going to be restoring all that you've lost. It's not going to come back in the same way, but it will come back in God's way. And he's also going to be opening up a season for you where you're going to hear his voice very clearly. And so I said, listen to his voice. You have some very big decisions you need to make in the next few weeks and months, and God will tell you what to do. And she said, that's exactly right. There's, in fact, a big decision she really needs to make regarding her fiancé, and she's been hesitant to make it. She can't make it, but she felt like this was such an encouraging word to her that she's able now to go before the Lord and really pray about that. I also had a word of scripture that I wrote down for her. Bethany had a word of scripture for her fiancé, and it turned out to be the same scripture. So that was really cool, too. And she was so happy. She didn't even want to leave. We were starting to close things down. She didn't want to go. He didn't want to go. It was just a really cool time. I do encourage everybody to come out, especially if you're in FTC, because there is such a prophetic anointing on FTC, and there is an increase of that anointing once you step under the tent. Once you step into that arena where the prophetic word is going on, that is going to rise up within you. So don't hold yourself back by thinking, oh, I can't do it, or I've never done that before. I had never done that before, and God steps you up. God raises you up to do that. So just come on out. It's a lot of fun. Also, just want to honor those that were there from beginning to end. It was a very hot night. We got there just for the last hour, hour and a half. So I feel like we were the laborers who stepped into the field at the very last hour, and we still got the full reward. But those that were there, and you all know who you are, just you did a great job, and it's just so encouraging to all of us to see such commitment. But it'll happen again in August. Thanks.
That's awesome.